Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Barstool. Kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
We can get in trouble in harmony, and we can talk in harmony.
How you doing, partner?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing fine.
Good.
We are here with Travis and Sue, and Travis is new to us. How you doing there, buddy?
Doing good, thank you.
Hey, you got some moves. You been dancing with Sue?
He's doing great.
He is. You got some moves, bro.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
This will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how fast you are on that dump button.
Yes.
It
won't be good today.
That won't be me. That'd be Terry.
Well, it may not be me. Maybe Carlos.
Likely.
Unless you get us really fired up, then it could be
there you
me,
go.
All of us.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR.
1460.
And 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
Always.
Always. When it's up, right?
That's when it's working.
So we have a phone number here. If you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. What is it again? What is the end? 4567?
4567.
4567?
Yep.
That's hard to remember, huh?
Yep.
It's like 1234.
I want that phone number.
We're here with Carlos Zapata and his beautiful wife, Becca. How you two doing?
We're great. Doing great.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, man. Anytime, brother.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Anytime. So, Carlos, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and Becca, the same thing, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, so Carlos Zapata, I'm the owner of the Palomino Room down in Red Bluff.
Yeah.
And been on this program before, so maybe if you caught me last time, you got a little bit of our background, and I think we're here because of a video that went viral of me talking to the board of supervisors here in Shasta County.
Well, you got like 10 views or something?
I think we were up to like 200 views, you know.
It's more like 20 million with an M.
But since last time we were here, we've done a lot and talked a lot and learned a lot, so hopefully we'll share a little bit of that today.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Notice you said shoot.
See, didn't have to dump that.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously his wife. I'm a mom. I'm a nurse. I help him run the restaurant. I don't know what you want to know, but
she's downplaying her.
She's the one behind you. Yeah. We all understand the importance of that.
I'm a flat tire without her.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, Carlos, there's a lot of things that have been happening here in California and in the different counties, and I just sort of like to take this first segment and let you just kind of roll, and you two tell us what you think's going on and you know, or what you know is going on.
Yeah.
Go right ahead, brother.
So here's what I think. I think that we're within, how many days of the election now? We have 50-something days,
yeah.
You know. And we're coming to a really existential crisis now, you know, not only in our country, but here in our local communities. And for so long, we've been so insulated and isolated in these small rural communities, you know, but they've achieved what they want to achieve, which is to impact and affect every American negatively with this socialist, globalist agenda. And for so many years, we've been, like I said, we've been so separated from that. We've been able to live our lives up here and sort of go to the polling booth, you know, every couple of years or whenever, and vote our conscience. And we've really been overall unaffected by what's going on a large scale. But here we are. It's at our front door now, you know, to where we're seeing socialist policies now passed by people that we deem to be our neighbors and deem to be good, conservative, patriotic Americans. And we're finding out as we peel back this onion that they're just part of the problem, you know. So here we are. We're trying to fix this now. And we're trying to figure out how to fix this. I think we're trying to navigate our way through this. And I always go back to this whole COVID thing. I know people are tired of talking about coronavirus or talking about, you know, tired of hearing about this COVID-19, but I really think it's at the epicenter of where we stand today. I think that this has been their tool to put us here, you know, when everything else failed. I mean, they tried so many things, and they've tried for so long just to impact. And they had an easy time controlling the people in the cities, controlling the people in academia, in the education system, but they've always had a really hard time reaching people like us, good, hardworking, patriotic, red-blooded Americans. And this was, to me, you know, their last stand. This was their last wish, was to impose this COVID-19, because they knew that with that they could create a national, a global emergency, and they knew that at the local levels it would be enforced because it would hold money over the heads of our local governments. So how do we fight this? You know, I mean, this is my question. This is where I'm at, is I think we fight this by simply saying no. And I think last time I was on this program, I talked about this, the importance of the word no. You know, so when somebody tells you to put a mask on, you have to say no. You know, and why? Is it because you're disrespectful of other people's health? No, absolutely not. It's because you've actually done your research and you've actually examined what the mask means. You know, so when people tell me, hey, you're not wearing a mask because you don't care about people, I've had people curse me out because I'm not wearing a mask. I've been kicked off. We've been kicked off of flights. I think we're on a no-fly list now because of this deal. You know, no, that's no joke.
I'll talk about that story. With American Airlines, please.
You know, so people say, why are you so adamant about this mask thing? And I said, well, because that is, to me, the first line of subversion, if you will. You know, that to me is the first thing. If they can get you to wear a mask, they can clearly see who you are and they can muzzle you. You know, it's a very significant, iconic thing that they've chosen to do, is to cover people's faces, because they know that, you know, they can silence us, they can separate us, and they can divide us, you know, into individuals that are particularly weak, I think, you know. So it comes down to science, right? And I've been saying this over and over again, that they think that they have science on their side, and they keep throwing that word out as if it means something. And they talk about facts and data and statistics. But anytime that a conservative, or I'm not even going to say conservative, I don't want to politicize this science thing. Anytime somebody comes up with a piece of data or science or a statistic that disagrees with their agenda, they are so quick to discredit that person, right? They want to discredit that person completely, you know. And we saw this happen with Dr. Rashid Batar. And you guys may have seen his videos going around. So I had the pleasure, my wife and I had the pleasure last weekend to travel and to be with Dr. Batar in St. Louis, Missouri. And got to spend a little bit of time with him, you know, talking and getting his ideas in person. That was pretty neat. But what did they do right away? As soon as his videos came out, people were like, man, this guy makes a lot of sense. What'd they do? They completely discredited him. They started basically a smear campaign against him, you know, to where now I think, you know, it's actually worked against him. More people are listening now, right? Because it's like when you go to YouTube or you go to Google or Facebook or whatever, and you can't find something because it's been banned. All of a sudden, it starts to pique your interest, and you start to wonder, okay, what is it that they're really trying to hide? They're not hiding anything else, you know, but what they do hide every time is the truth.
Every time.
Every single time.
You know, and I think that the other thing, too, you made a good point about medically. You know, it's funny how the medical doctors come out with fact, and they come out with science that's accurate, and they're the ones who get banned.
Absolutely.
You know, it's all the pundits and the people that don't know anything that are still on there.
And they're also the ones on the front lines treating patients.
Absolutely.
And then they have success, and they're talking about their numbers with success, yet they're going to be the ones that are going to be ridiculed and discredited and everything else.
And I was sort of hoping that, you know, listen, I need my wife to work. I don't want her to lose her job, but I was kind of hoping that she could take this time to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the hospital and the measures.
Right.
These really draconian measures which they're taking now, and I think when you guys hear this, you'll be pretty appalled at what's going on, even now, as we know more and more.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick here, because I want to take it early so we can get back on, because that's really important information. And so we're going to take a break right now. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
One, two, three.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Good song. Travis likes this.
Yes, I do.
You're the man, Travis.
Thank you very much.
We're having a lot of fun, buddy. We'll have a lot of fun. We're back here with Carlos and Becca Zapata. And before we go to Becca, we're going to talk a little bit about the truth about the medical side of all of this COVID stuff. But we have a caller on the line. His name is Dan. Dan, do you have a question for Carlos?
Good morning, Dan.
Yeah, actually, I had a comment.
Okay.
I was basically wanting to say that as far as the state of Jefferson goes, we need to stop basically trying to fix California and then just trade it in for a brand new model.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there is no fixing California, and we'll talk about that because it's impossible to do with 40 million people. It's impossible to do with 20 million people, 25 million people. Thanks for the call, Dan, but we're going to get right to Becca. Becca, give us your take on this medical fallacy the government has thrown at us.
I don't, you know, I can only really talk about what I see in this area. You know, I mean, I think obviously there's, this whole thing has been insane. But, you know, when this first started and it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve, I had my doubts about, you know, the actual motivation behind this. But we all understood it, right? We saw supposedly what was happening in Italy, what was happening in New York. We got the concept of, we want to make sure that we're prepared here in case we see a wave of these patients and we have the right PPE and we know how to handle it and, yeah, you know, blah, blah. We got that. So everyone was kind of on board in that initial stage. And they cracked down on, you know, visitors in the hospital. You could have anyone with you. You know, they made exceptions for end of life. But, I mean, it was completely cracked down. And, you know, I work in neonatal intensive care. So I take care of babies, you know, that are premature or need surgery, you know, an ICU, and obviously their parents want to be with them all the time, and it drastically affected parents' ability to be at the bedside, not to have any grandparents or other support people or family, you know, and no one that I work with, even in the bureaucracy, takes that lightly. I mean, that's, we try in normal circumstances to allow family and support people 24/7 at the bedside. We don't separate people from their children, you know, all that. But it was really, you know, it was one parent, only the mom, for one time a day. You know, it was really limited. And then, you know, now we're 6 months into this, and as we're seeing, let's just take our community. If you didn't have the news or social media to tell you that this was a problem, and you were just going by what you saw around you, would you even know that there was an issue?
No.
And the answer is no.
No, not
right?
at all.
Our total death numbers are not any different than previous years. People are not dropping dead in the streets. You know, your relatives and everyone you know are not being hospitalized and dying in the hospital. You would not know that there was an issue.
Yes.
Right, so, if you look at that, and when you look at the negative impact that we've had on everyone that's been in the hospital or had any kind of health issue in the last 6 months, what are we doing? Like, I'm really disappointed in general with the medical community that we are not advocating better for our patients with this going on.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that where you work, our youngest son was born with spina bifida. And so we're very well aware with your department there. And you're at Mercy, yeah?
Yep.
Well, he's 31 now. And, they did an amazing job then. But, I mean, you're so right about the idea of people being really ill. My daughter-in-law is a nurse down in Sacramento, and her mother had a stroke up here, and she wasn't allowed to go in and see her, even being a nurse. I mean, it just...
It's a travesty.
It is, you know, and it just gets to be so crazy, all this stuff going on. And what we need to, you know, we need to have people like yourself. You know, I mean, I would hope that you'd call into Carl Bott's program, you know, someplace. But, call in and let people know. Because, see, you're seeing it firsthand. And an observation from somebody like yourself who has training, who knows what they're talking about, who knows the medical field, who works in it. That's what we need to be hearing. Yourself, Dr. Danuka, people like that locally.
Absolutely, you know, and I've been really taken aback by the amount of people in our community that's supposed to be a pretty conservative red community. I heard Audrey Denny say the other day, you guys know Audrey. I heard her say this is a deep red part of the country, but I don't even know that it is, you know. I mean, I go into Holiday Market in Palo Cedro, California, okay, our beautiful little town, and people that I know, people that I generally respected, are in a grocery store with their children wearing masks. And I'm asking myself why. And Holiday Market isn't making you do that. There's nobody at the door telling you to put a mask on. So why are you really doing this? Have you really bought, you know, the fallacy? Have you bought this lie?
Well, and in a grocery store, if you're going to go buy produce from a store wearing a mask, I would really rather not do that.
Absolutely.
You know, anything that's a perishable item like that, that, you know, no, absolutely not. If it's not in a package, then... Okay, whatever, but you're going to be wearing a mask?
It makes zero sense. So they have this
scare tactic.
They have a mask that they carry around with them, and I've just literally seen people pull this mask out of their pocket right as they're walking in the store. It's all crumpled up and dirty and greasy, and I'm like, you're going to put that on your face and tell me that that's saving you?
Oh, that's hilarious. The other day I saw a lady come out of a market.
Yeah.
Out of a market, gets in her car and puts her mask on. And you're just thinking, okay, and there was a handicapped insignia on the plate. Yeah. She's got to be losing oxygen, yes?
100%. You know? So this brings us to the point, right, where they obviously don't think that that's that little designer piece of, you know, whatever that you bought at JCPenney now to match your outfit, you know, is an actual medical device. They don't believe that. They don't really think it's saving you. What they're doing is they're wearing it because they simply want to comply. They want to be compliant because... They feel by being compliant, it's just more convenient, right? I don't have to deal with anybody saying anything to me. I don't have to deal with dirty looks. You know,
well, they don't want to be shamed or look at they don't or have people shamed. Look at them like they're a bad person.
Well, I feel like you were talking about this, son. Like, you get a low level of anxiety when you're going to a store and everybody's like, hey, what are they going to say? How are they going
to
look at
me? Who am
you
I going to have to be confronted by now and go over the same thing over
and over? I shouldn't have to justify my normalcy for your idiocy, you know? Well,
and the mask is replacing the backbone.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it that way, that's the way I look. It's like, I'm not doing it.
It's true.
Not doing
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
What irritates me is that everyone knows, right, the quote, mandate. And there's signs everywhere.
Yeah.
So if I'm not wearing a mask, I have a reason for wearing it, whether that's medical or just I don't want to, you know, or I have a religious exemption or whatever your issue is.
Or I just have a backbone.
How about you don't say anything to me, right? People have a reason for doing it. They don't have to tell you what it is.
Right.
So I don't need you to confront me and say, oh, masks are required. But I know masks are required, and I have a reason for not wearing one.
And it's none of your business.
Right.
This is society, though. What you just said, Wynn, you hit it on the head. It's none of your business. You know, we live in a society where it feels good to be a snitch. It feels good to tell people, right? It's this false moral high ground.
Kind of like
that,
Nazi
that
Germany.
It is. And it feels, and, you know,
well, it's a false sense of power.
I really want to get into the psychology of that, you know, of what makes people feel good when they snitch on their neighbors and their friends and their people in their communities. It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, compliance is complicity. If you're compliant, you are complicit. And I can't say that enough.
It,
you might
absolutely
think that it's not a big deal. You might think you're not really affecting anything. You're just going along with it. And I hear people say, oh, I'm so against this, you know. Then take your mask and throw it away.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that even the deal with the mask, when you go in there, certainly it's not the law. And I know that there's some issues that people have a lot of times when they'll walk into a store.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who actually will try to stand in front of you, not realizing that they've just committed a felony, you know, false imprisonment.
Sure.
The thing is that people have gone, I think a lot of it's power, too. I think a lot of people, like when they snitch and stuff, it gives them a sense of power.
Oh, authority. Yeah.
Authority. And I think that's the one thing that we've got to understand. And really and truly, one of the things that really has been sort of a pet peeve with a lot of us, we have a good friend named David Bryant. I don't know if you've met him yet or not.
You will.
you'll come across him in your travels. He's a pastor, wonderful man.
Good man.
And, the thing is that I've talked to some pastors and some elders at different churches, and their posture is, well, you know, we have to obey authority. Well, no, we don't. Well, yes, we do. God put him there. I said, well, God put Nebuchadnezzar there. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, hey, go pound sand. We're not bounding down to a golden statue. We're not doing that.
No.
You know, because we understand where government comes from, where everything comes from, and that's God. And I think that the pastors and a lot of churches have really missed the boat there. I mean, really and truly, you're going to close up a church? I mean, there's churches that are trying to raise money to raise a baby from the dead, one particular church I can think of.
Yeah.
Yet you don't trust God enough to go and meet and do what we're told to do in Hebrews?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. And you stop and think about this high moral ground that a lot of people seem to take without, and it's just, to me, it's just complicit cowardness.
Yeah.
501c3. When
well,
you say
know,
more, right?
Absolutely.
The weakness of the church is just shows how society has become. Because the church should have been the front line that fought this. Like, no, we're not closing down. I mean, we have separation of church and state. People are going to come worship and do whatever. And they just, I'm so shocked at how in most of them just rolled over and accepted this. But
yeah,
it's just become.
I've been very disappointed with my church in that regard. Very disappointed.
We have Mark online. Mark, is this you, Kemosabe?
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Mark Baird on the phone. Shoot away, partner.
Well, I just want to make a point, and then I'll get off and listen. But I think that a lot of this stuff is just Alice's rabbit hole, and we can't dive down the rabbit hole for every single thing that Governor Newsom does. He is a socialist. He's an avowed socialist. The people he worked for are avowed communists. He said openly, we can use the virus to take this state and this nation away from capitalism and towards socialism. Their goal is to abolish private property rights, abolish the Second Amendment, abolish your liberty. They've done that in California with a supermajority. They're going to keep doing it. Quite frankly, I don't care one way or the other about the mask. What I care about is the underlying government that is getting away with all of this because we're so busy focusing on the details that we're forgetting the big picture. We have no political power to do anything about this stuff in this state. So we either need to prepare to fight, and I mean fight in the highest sense of the word you can possibly mean that, and this may come to fruition when Donald Trump appoints Ginsburg's replacement before the election. Or we need to be prepared by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands to take our state, the state of Jefferson, away from these communists and bullies and tyrants. These little issues are meant to divert us from the big issue, which is the loss of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We have no Second Amendment in California. We have no First Amendment in California. And here's where we're going with this. In Australia, it is legal for the cops to kick in the door without a warrant and arrest people for making statements on Facebook that are anti-COVID compliant. It is encouraged in the socialist state of England, the failed socialist state of England, to rat out your neighbors when you look over the fence and they're having a backyard barbecue that doesn't comply with the China Wuhan bioweapons
lab
virus requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things we have to be fighting. I have to say I don't give a tinker's damn about the mask. You know, people have property rights and even misguided property rights. If a business says you can't come in here without a mask, then go somewhere else. I mean, they have the right to say what happens in their business, just like we have the right to say I'm going to go in there and buy something or I'm not. When you buy a ticket on an airliner, you're signing a contract and you voluntarily agree to their terms. Don't buy the ticket if you don't want to wear the mask at all. You know, so those things are diversions. The real issue here is socialism and communism, which is poised and backed financially. They're very well funded. And quite frankly, I have seen this all over the world. And it will be violent, a violent failure here, just as it has been in Rwanda, Central African Republic, and every place else I've ever been and seen it.
You know, Mark,
and
I think
we need to fight back.
You're right, and I think we're going to have to go off to a break here pretty quick, but I think you're right, and it leads into what Kylie and Gallagher are doing. They're trying a lawsuit against the governor on these different mandates that he's had.
Oh, that'll be successful.
Well, the problem is that they're getting a lot of kudos, but I think to a degree, I'm not saying, you know, to a degree, I kind of think this might be a diversion. The reason I say that is because the governor's now come out, it's a moot point, and he does have a point, in a California court saying that, you know what, all the stuff I did, the legislative body just passed. So now, how do you get me on separation of powers? So I think you're right, Mark. I think that the big picture is where we need to go. We're going to go off to a break. And, Mark, if you want to hang on for a little bit, that'd be great.
That's okay. You guys go on with your show.
All right, brother. Thank you for that. And
I'm going to respond to Mark when we get a chance.
We will. And then Carlos will respond. And Opal, hang on. We'll get to you after the break because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
White lines on the interstate at the edge of 17. Under a winter sky, the shade of grenade.
Yeah!
Well, I never would have made it.
Oh, yeah.
To the California.
Had a girl, Sal.
Out in old Freeland.
Sally does all our music.
She sounds good.
She does.
All right, we're back at
We went right back down to zero.
Zero real quick. Okay.
Good job, Travis.
So You're welcome. We have Opal on the line. Yeah, let's get to Opal real quick, and then we can finish up your response. Okay, Carlos?
Yep.
Good morning, Opal. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I just called to agree with your guest. My 74-year-old sister just lost her 78-year-old husband due to the COVID. And they would not allow her in to see him, even though she had been a nurse for 50 years. And the nurses at the hospital stated that he did better anytime she was able to visit him.
Of course he did.
Yep.
Did he, Opal, I've got a quick question about that. You said he died of COVID. Did he really die of COVID, or did he have the COVID strain in his body and die of pneumonia or something else?
No. The only underlying problem he had was high blood pressure.
There you
go. He took one pill a day.
There you go.
And like I say, he was 78 years old and did better when his wife was permitted to go in and visit with him.
The power
and that's from the nurses that took care of him.
All right. Well,
all right.
God bless him and God bless her.
Thank you, Opal. We appreciate you. And we're going to come back to Carlos. And what's your response to what Mark Baird was saying?
So I want to agree and disagree with Mark. You know, I think that we go down this rabbit hole and we focus on a detail such as a mask. And to me, it's not insignificant because, like I said earlier, I prefaced this whole thing with saying that that kind of compliance is what leads us to where we're at. So while to him, yeah, there is absolutely a bigger picture. There absolutely is, you know, but we got to start unwinding this thing one step at a time. And to me, it's imagine if nobody wore a mask. Imagine if everybody said, you know what, we're not doing this. We're throwing away our masks. We're going out and showing our beautiful free faces, right? This thing would be over. That would give them a message, a very, very strong and real message, a tangible message that says,
they
can't control them. That's we cannot control these people. Yeah. As long as you wear a mask, they can control you. Now the big picture comes into play, you know. So if it's like the broken window theory in law enforcement, right? If you take care of the broken windows and the small crimes, you avoid the big crimes,
right?
So if you can avoid that small level of control, which would seem to be this mask, you know, then you can avoid the big picture stuff, you know. But anyways, what I do agree with him with is that we have a very real, and he said it very well in the most heightened sense of the word, fight ahead of us.
And he's not wrong. I mean, he's been in combat, and he understands all those things.
Six wars.
Yep.
Absolutely. So we have a very kinetic fight that's coming up. You have people preparing. We have people buying guns who've never owned guns before, people who are getting ready, and they're not buying these guns to go hunt. They're not buying these guns for home defense. They're buying these guns to be used for what the Second Amendment warned us might happen one day.
I want to kind of piggyback on what you said. And I agree with both of you, too. Mm-hmm. And I agree that it's a symptom, basically, this mask thing. And what it is basically the compliance idea. Somehow we've got to win the hearts and minds of everybody. We've got a lot of different people going on a lot of different issues. Mm-hmm. We have to unite under one tent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You kind of look at it like a church, all right? Say you've got the men's ministry, and Becca, you've got the women's ministry, and you've got the youth ministry, Wynn.
Okay,
but you all think that's the most important thing in the church, but you're still under what? The umbrella of what? The church, Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea of taking all this and making it all work with everybody, and that's where I think the mask thing has relevance, because what you're doing is bringing in people you never had before. Fact is, I wouldn't know a whole lot of people if it hadn't been during the Second Amendment court case that we were down in Sacramento. We were on a bus. Mark was inside in court, came out and spoke to everybody. Then a bunch of us went over to the Capitol. Only three of us went in. At the time, the Freedom Angels, who weren't the Freedom Angels yet, but those ladies were in there, and there was a bunch of moms, young moms with their kids protesting, saying, hey, you're not going to give a vax to my kid.
Yeah.
You know, we should have choice for our kids, all this stuff. Well, Bob Holsinger, my wife and I went in. We locked arms with them. We chanted with them. We befriended them. And I think the idea is we have to all come together under an umbrella, but we have to understand how the whole thing works. How do we fix this thing? We have to have an understanding, and not an ego deal, but an understanding of really how it works.
We really need a plan, right? We need to have what you said about having an understanding. we have to know what we're fighting. And on the way here, you know, Beck and I were talking about this. And I love doing this. This is absolutely great. I love, you know, being able to talk with you guys and have some real intelligent conversation, because I feel like these conversations actually lead to good action. What I am tired of, and what I told Beck I will no longer be a part of, is these cheerleading events, as I call them. You know, these events where we're just protesting, you know, and we're rallying, and you have American flags everywhere, and that's all great. I'm a patriot. I love the flag more than anything itself, but I'm telling you that we're not doing any good. We will better spend our time by uniting under a true understanding of what's going on, and creating real actionable responses, you know, to what's going on. But these rallies, and you can imagine now, I've been asked to go to so many things, you know, come to this protest, come to that meeting, come to this, come to that. Well, you go and speak to the board supervisors again, go down to Tehama County, go to Shasta County. I'm like, you know what? They've already heard my voice. They've already heard what I have to say. Nothing I can say to them now is going to wake them up and think, you know, if my last little talk with them didn't wake them up, then nothing will. They already know where I stand. So at this point, we've chosen to take the course of, look, words are over. Now it's time for action. So now I've opened my business, and we're fully open. We've been open now, you know, for a couple of weeks. And
how's it going?
They haven't messed with us. It's been awesome. They haven't messed with us now. We're supposed to be at 25% capacity, but we're not doing that. Listen, we're not wearing masks. We're not going by any of this, because we know how to run our business. We know how to best take care of ourselves and best take care of our customers, as we always have, right? Mm-hmm. So the action part in this protest, if you will, comes that if somebody does come, at that point we are ready to fight. At that point we are ready to actually take the fight to them.
You know, and I think what you just said was, I love you. What you just said was profound. Education without action is useless.
Absolutely. Yep.
And that's been the whole point of this. So
saying that forever.
We have the silver bullet, though. We have the silver bullet. We need to come together under the silver bullet, and it's very simple. Number one, without representation,
you have nothing.
We have nothing.
Yep.
Zero.
Yep.
If you're not represented, you have nothing. You don't have representation with one senator for every million people and one assemblyman for every 500,000. You don't even have it with one assemblyman for every 20,000. You have it with maybe one for every 10. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay?
Maybe.
Second thing is the Second Amendment. We make sure we protect the Second Amendment. Do not obey these illegal laws. Stay with the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment protects all of it.
It does.
And remember, our rights are God-given.
That's
the
right.
Constitution is the line in the sand that our forefathers put together, the line the government doesn't cross. And number three, how many times have we all heard, throw out the bombs, just throw them all out? Okay, well, here's the deal. First of all, when you elect somebody who may have good intentions to begin with, why not give these people that you elect the apportionment, the districts in which they can handle their constituents? They know their constituents. They may see them at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Give them that particular situation, number one. Number two, you have to make sure that when these people are elected, they have to abide by the same laws, rules, and regulations we do. They have to be accountable, which I think that's why the state of Jefferson and their constitution has a fourth branch of government, the Constitutional Compliance Committee.
Yep.
Okay, where if you take your oath of office and you break your oath of office, or you break your oath to the Constitution, or you break the law, you are convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not sued.
Quite simple.
You're not sued. Okay, and the other thing is that we have to make sure.
And you can be convicted civilly and criminally,
and
both at the same time.
Civilly, you can be convicted under Title 42, Code Section 1983 of the United States Code.
Yep.
Civilly,
yep.
We can use that. There's a lot of different laws that we'll talk about later. There's a lot of different laws. They're a paragraph long.
Yep.
And that's really good for people like me, because I have the attention span of a gnat.
Sure.
Okay, so
I know somebody just like
that. And so, you know, those are the things we have to look at. The silver bullet has three things. That's all we need to do. We get that fixed. How do we fix that? We fix it with smaller apportionment.
Right.
How do you fix that? You fix it with breaking the state of California into probably three states. That would be my guess.
Minimum.
In the apportionment. Maybe minimum.
Yep.
But the point is that the northern area has to be separate from the southern area. The way of life is different.
Yep.
And you have to have a situation like that. That's not to say that other ideas aren't good ideas, but people haven't thought through apportionment. They haven't thought through a position of, gee whiz, what happens to all the Caltrans stuff?
Yeah.
What happens to the buildings? How does all that work? Well, you know, on the show, we've answered that a lot of times.
It's division of assets.
What's the division of assets?
It's a divorce, right?
Well,
is what it is.
Well, here's what it is.
I've been through one of those.
The Committees of Separation.
Yeah.
And I'll bet these other movements don't even have a Committee of Separation list. But these other movements don't know what you do with Caltrans. But these other movements don't know what you do with the prisons. The other movements don't know what you do with the schools.
And they're not even tracking
and
the
they're
assets.
Not even tracking any assets. But a lot of these other movements and some of the big ones are all about, oh, it feels good. It's the right thing to do. You know, we need to save California. And after the break, we'll take it a little bit early because I want your take on what Gallagher and Kylie are doing.
Sure.
And see what you two think about that.
Yeah, you know, I want to just say something that's a little offshoot of this, and I've been saying this for years, and it's just a, kind of goes along with this when you're talking about holding people accountable. I've said for years that if you're a public servant, if you're elected to represent people, your children should have to go to public school. You should have to avail yourself of the public services for everyone else, because I guarantee you the public school system would be fixed in a heartbeat if that was the situation, and that leads to so many other things.
Right.
What a great point, you know, and we could do a whole program about that. That's a good point, and those are also some things. We have some articles in the Constitution of Jefferson that Janet Chandler and, Gary, who's now passed away, but a lot of people who were school teachers, principals, et cetera, went ahead and did this thing. All those things are put in there, and you should have a choice on what you do with your children. You should have the choice of your children. That's biblical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you absolutely. Should have the choice of what happens to them. This vax thing makes me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely crazy. And
we can talk about this vaccine too if you'd like. At some point, it can be on this show, on the next show.
Well, we can do another show. You know, we can do a lot of them. And I don't think none of that stuff is a rabbit trail. Yeah. None of that stuff is anything other than the fact that without all the stuff and all these things that have happened, you know, COVID might have been the gift that might have been a gift to a degree, mm-hmm. because what it's done is it's brought good people like you.
It's an awakening.
And other people that we're all, you know, we're all working together now. And that's the idea of this. We need our liberty because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
My old man's that old man. Spent his life living off the land. Steady hands and a clean. It breaks his heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel it isn't ours, and wearing cotton we didn't grow. He's got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Never fight that chair on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back. It says USA.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What I felt was right, like a rock. Like a rock. I was strong as I could be, like a rock.
Well, Sally, honey, I remember dancing to this.
Nothing ever got to me.
When you could dance?
When I could dance, yeah.
I remember the show commercials.
Hey, we did.
Yep.
We dance on the swing in the backyard together.
That's right, you do.
You bet.
Holding a cold one.
That's right, man. You bet. A lot of fun.
Hey, one real quick thing I just wanted to kind of throw out there. When you guys were talking about flying and so forth, and it happened to be American Airlines, a dear friend of ours, their spouse works for American Airlines, and they have been encouraged to wear the BLM buttons. The spouse has worked there for many, many years and is fighting that tooth and nail, but they've been encouraged strongly to wear the BLM buttons.
If those American three letters Airlines, in that order are any part of any business, I'm walking out, you know. And in fact,
yeah.
We saw this when we went to St. Louis last week. Mm-hmm. We went to Avis get a rental car. And had I known this before, we would have absolutely rescinded our deal and gone somewhere else to get a rental car, you know. But, you know, as we're sitting there checking out, I noticed that the employees on their ties have a Black Lives Matter, Avis Corporation, you know, deal on their ties. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is actually going on? Because you don't really think that BLM is a good thing. You know, you don't really believe that, you know. So what's behind this? What's the agenda here, you know?
They're just trying to protect themselves so they don't get their cars burned up in their offices.
It's a Maoist Marxist organization, admittedly.
Yeah.
They're not even hiding it anymore, you know. And you're going to support that in the United States of America, you know, in the heartland of America? Come on.
Yeah, we made a hat that says Black Guns Matter.
And sold out.
Yeah, we
sold out. Listen, nobody's saying minutes. Black lives don't matter. No, nobody is saying.
All lives matter.
No, we're talking about even the social issues that the Black community is facing, that deserves to be highlighted. We don't even want to say all lives matter in a way that it's dismissive. That's not what we're saying. We're saying the actual organization, Black Lives Matter.
It is not helping black people at all. And nobody wants to talk about the real issues in that community.
Right.
And this is what I'm tired of, too. We live in a society where we can't speak truth. If you speak truth, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're whatever. They want to label you, right? I'm none of those things. Yeah. Like, I actually want the best. If Terry's a friend of mine, he comes to me, he says, hey, look, I got this going on, and I have an antidote to actually fix it or some advice to actually make his life better, why am I not going to tell it to him, you know?
Right.
It might offend him. He might not like it. It might not be easy. But at the end of the day, if we're friends, I'm going to give him the best advice I can give him, you know?
Right.
And let's talk about the fatherless society that the Black community is. Let's talk about 75% of households that don't have a dad in the home.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true.
Let's talk about the reality of the education system, you know? And nobody wants to talk about these things because it makes you a racist.
Uncomfortable.
You know? Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, so that's a whole other show.
No, but I mean, it is. But the point is you're absolutely spot on that. But I want to get to Kylie and Gallagher. I know them both personally. You know them both personally. And
I've spoken to them both, you know, at some point.
Well, actually, James Gallagher, when we did the declaration for the state of Jefferson for Sutter County, he wrote it.
Yes.
He wrote the declaration, and they passed it 4-1.
He's a very smart guy.
Well, but what happened is he also went on the record saying he was going to introduce a bill in the state of California to do what? Increase representation.
If we helped him.
We did. He and I were both interviewed by the Sacramento Bee and on the steps of the Capitol. And he and I were talking, and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to introduce this stuff, da-da-da-da-da. And he did that. And they did take my quote because I said he had testicular fortitude by doing this.
Yep.
And I've got to be very careful how I choose my words being on the radio. So anyway, the point is that he never did that. And then, you know, we talked about it, and he went down there and a lot of times. But again, it's one of those things where is James Gallagher a bad guy? No. But he goes down, and all of a sudden he's got all this pressure from everything that's going on. And now he's, 17 out of 80?
Well, okay. I think that's where the issue is.
And just one more point. And that is that these guys have now put forth a lawsuit. And the lawsuit states that everything that Newsom did was illegal. And Newsom's come back and said, you know, hey, that's a moot point because we now have legislation that shows everything I do is legal. So go ahead, brother.
No, it's exactly what you're saying. We're so outnumbered.
You know?
And I would even say we're outgunned. The thing about the Democrats that they do well is they legislate well. You know, they have great legal teams. They have great attorneys, great lawyers that are very, very powerful. You know, and that's a hard fight. So I think this brings us into the next topic, right, of how do we actually get that representation, that apportionment that you're talking about, you know. Because without that, we're not going to get what we want. There's no way. We can have a very strong representative. We can have, you know, guys like Kevin Kiley and James Gallagher.
Who want to do the right
thing. Have the best of intentions, yeah. You know, and are actually very, very brilliant and smart and capable, but you can only do so much with what you got.
And there's pressure. They have pressure to not do some of the things that they may want to do.
Right. Well, the 17 that are down there, how many of them are rhinos? So then you take that out of the equation, too, so the number diminishes. Yep. And then of those, how many actually have the statistical fortitude to move forward? Okay, that number goes way down. So what do you have? 5 people, maybe, that are willing to fight against the balance of the other 75? How are they going to ever win? They're not going to win. And with a new state, a properly apportioned state, that would work.
Yep.
Every day of the week, that would work. Yeah.
Well, you know, there is a thing. You know, the First Amendment wasn't really the First Amendment as we see it. The First Amendment was the Second Amendment. The First Amendment was apportionment of representation. And it was called Articles the First. And that's a whole other issue we'll talk about. You might even know about it. But it was called Articles the First. And the archives were found, signed by Jefferson and signed by Madison. Mm-hmm. The archives were found in Connecticut and, I want to say, New Hampshire. And
I thought it was Kentucky.
It was Kentucky. Anyway, what it said is basically it was apportioning the House of Representatives to increase as population increased. Yeah. Okay, so the understanding of that, you know, of the understanding of that, and that ended up being something that everybody thought was a foregone conclusion, and therefore it didn't actually go in. Articles the First is a very interesting story about that. Sure. But what we have to understand is that, again, and you're right, the representation, these people go in with the right intentions, but eventually there's some lobbies that pull on them. You know, if you're representing MODOK and you're representing Placer, well, who's going to pull on you?
Placer's going to give you a little bit of a pull.
They're going to pull. See, and so, again, it's a matter of apportionment, understanding how all that works. Anyway, it looks like you had a thought, brother.
No. I was just kind of...
Becca does. Becca always has a thought.
This is actually not my wheelhouse.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, when you hit on the fact of being a mother and understanding that it's up to you to make sure that your children are healthy, they're strong.
Absolutely.
Safe. In all that, I want your take on... I do want you to mention a little bit about what you believe as far as this whole thing with this antidote and this vaccine.
That's what's coming.
So here's my bottom line.
Okay.
The government has zero right to regulate anything that you do with your body or your children's bodies. Whether you believe in vaccines or you don't, I don't really care. That's your right. Research it. You do what you think is right for yourself. But the day that the government tells me I have to put something in my kid's body is over my dead body, right? And I'm not a total anti-vaxxer. I think there's certain vaccines I slow vaxxed my children. I gave them some that I thought were appropriate. And, you know, so I'm not, you know, saying absolutely not, never is my child going to have a vaccine. If you feel that way about your children, that's perfectly fine too. But that's your right as a parent, as a mom. The government has zero role in that. So, you know, I don't even know how this is even a discussion. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I agree with you. Now, we've got about a minute and a half left. Do you have anything you want to add, my brother?
No, I mean, I would just kind of echo that, you know. And, again, it goes back to whatever we give the government, you know, is what they have, you know. And we bestow the power upon them. And we forget this all the time. I mean, this is very simple. And we can talk about the details. And I think we have to really get into the weeds, you know, offline when we're talking about how to actually fix a problem. But to understand the issue is quite simple, you know. And we got to understand that we the people mean something. And this is what I'm trying to preach to people. It's not a complicated message. It's not a complex message. You don't have to have a college degree to understand my message, you know.
Right. Keep it simple. You
know, yep. That the government actually does not have the power that we think they have.
No. They don't give us any rights or... any permission.
You know, my rights were granted me by my birth, you know, by being born an American. I have a certain, you know, amount of rights that come along with that, you know, given by God. Yep. And like you said, the Constitution is just an interpretation of that, and that's all it is, you know. And people think that we get our rights from our government, and it makes me sick that people go and they're petitioning, they're asking the government, and they love it, right? Man, if you come and you have to ask me permission for everything, I love that. It just feels good.
Power.
Right? It feels so powerful.
Power, yes.
you know, and it's just power hungry. But these people that are doing that, I'm like, you're giving them the power. By simply asking them permission to open your business, you are giving them the power.
Just open
that,
it.
That they want. So yeah. I did it one time. I said, in a very strong manner, open up businesses. And I went, you know, into my corner, open my business, you know. And other business owners, how are you doing this? You know, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean?
You're leading by example is what you're doing.
The way that I've always done it. I get the key to my door and I open
my right.
I call my staff back and I make my orders and we go to work.
There you go.
Well, you guys, you're an amazing couple. We'll have you on a lot. And
I appreciate you guys a lot. This is great. Yeah.
And we need to have a powwow. We need to have a powwow with some people like our good friend Cordy and also with Chris Hayes.